There's times I like listening to preaching. I love preaching, love singing. But you don't get that close relationship by listening to preaching and listening to singing, though it stirs you and moves you, and God can speak to you through the preaching. The singing can strum your heartstrings and soothe and bring some peace. But I will say this, getting alone with your Bible and getting alone with God is the best thing to do and the best place to be when it comes to your walking with the Lord. If you got Matthew or Gospel of John chapter number 3, say amen. You still need time to get it, say, hold up, preacher. I'm going to invite you all to stand with us as we read this word and reverence the reading of it. As we said, it's familiar scripture. But I want to preach this morning. I've been bitten, but thank God I'm still alive. I've been bitten, but thank God I'm still alive. And the Bible says this in Gospel of John chapter number 3, verse number 14. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord and wonderful Savior, Father, we come to you, Lord, this time. We thank you and praise you, Father, for everything that you've done so far and everything that you're doing. Thank you for what I feel in my heart, Lord, this morning. But, Lord, we pray, Lord, for your power. We pray for your presence. And we pray, Lord, Father, for the preaching that you can do through a man. Lord, we pray one more time, Lord, that you would just preach us, anoint us with that fresh oil, move through us, speak through us, Lord, that we not rely upon the things that which we have studied, but Lord, you have showed us so much. Lord, I believe, I don't know if I'll even get to the end of this message, but Lord, I do know this, Lord, you're something, and Lord, you're so wonderful in our lives. But Lord, what we do not need you to ask you to do, Lord, is to speak, because there's no problem with you speaking. But Lord, we pray for our ears to hear what you have to say. Lord, that we not only hear it, but Lord, we would listen to it, apply it to our life. We would recognize it and move up to it. Lord, it's one thing to hear the Word of God, but it's another thing to be a doer of the Word of God. And Lord, that's what we want to be today, is a doer. Lord, we ask you to bless in all these things in thy Son's sweet precious name. Amen and amen. As I said, I want to preach on, I've been bitten, but thank God I'm still alive. I want to preach on, as it says here in Matthew chapter number, or John, I don't know why I keep saying Matthew, but the Gospel of John chapter number 3 and verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. We know the rest of the verses, but I want to focus mainly upon that verse number 14, the telling of the story as the Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Most of us may not know the scriptures. Most of us may not know the reasoning by it. But in Numbers chapter number 21, we have found the children of Israel, the people of God, they are now in the wilderness and they are journeying through. They had just left a certain place. They just left Egypt, just crossed over. They're in the wilderness and they're at a place. And they had already had took place in a battle. They made a vow unto God, telling God that, God, if you'll deliver these enemies into our hand, we'll follow you wherever you say to go. And the Bible says that God led the children of Israel in chapter number 21 down along the coast of the Red Sea, led them through the wilderness. But the Bible says back in those days, the children of Israel, they were complainers. They were people who did not like the way things that God liked the way that God was doing things. And I'll say this, oftentimes I'll have to admit, there's times that I will look and see and say, Lord, I just don't understand what you're doing. I like for my journey to be easy. I like for my journey to be sweet. I don't want no problems, don't want no difficulties. But the Bible says in Numbers chapter number 21 and in verse number 4, the Bible says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor unto by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. I'll say this, sometimes people may not like the way that the Lord picks, but the Lord knows exactly which way that we ought to go. Oftentimes I talked to an individual here recently, and they began to try to tell me that they said that our God and the God of the Muslims and the God of other religions is the same God. I beg to differ, friend. It's not the same God. Everybody wants to join in and hold hands and say it's all the same. But Jesus is the dividing part. Jesus is the one that causes things to be separated. Jesus says, when I've come not to bring peace, but a sword. He come to bring a separation. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. He didn't say that we're all coming together and we're all going to wind up in the same place and the end result is going to be the same. No. Jesus said, unless the Father first draw you, you cannot come unto me. And no man can come unto my Father unless he come by me. And I will say, Jesus is the way. You say, preacher, which way should my life go? It should go the way of Jesus Christ. How should I talk, preacher? You should talk the way of Jesus Christ. How should I dress and live my life in my jar and do my job? The way of Jesus Christ. How should I act at school? The way of Jesus Christ. How should I act when I'm playing sports? The way of Jesus Christ. How should I act when I'm playing video games? The way of Jesus Christ. How should I be in church? You better be the way of Jesus Christ. But the people of Israel, they got discouraged because of the way. In verse number 5 it says, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? And there is no bread, neither is there any water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. They began to complain about what God was giving them. God was giving them that manna that come down from heaven. And Brother James, they began to reminisce on the leeks and the onions that they used to have. Now, I want to stop right there and say something. I don't know what it's like just to have onions and things and just have leeks to eat. But I'll say this, Brother. I like an onion with my soup beans. I like some chives on my potato every now and then. But Brother Tony, I don't like to eat it just pure and simple. Me and Brother Tony's talking about a bologna sandwich with some tomato and onion on it before church. You can say amen right there. I know some people are shaking their head no, but it's good food right there. But they was complaining about how they had that bread. They didn't like the things that God was giving them. Can I say something? Mark her down. If God's giving you something now, it's not going to be the end result. The best is still yet to come. And these people couldn't wait. They didn't want to wait on what God was going to give them. Already promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey. Already promised them a land in cities and walled cities that they could live in. But you'll find it. The first thing that happens when you start complaining about the way that you're going in and the way that you're walking in, the first people you'll start attacking is the man of God, and you'll start attacking God and the things that he was doing. We all know the scriptures. We all know the problems that happen. The Bible says in the 5th and the 6th verse, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Ain't you saying something right there? That's a man of God. They spoke against the man of God, Brother James, but still yet he interceded for the people that was bad-mouthing him. They didn't like Brother Moses, but Moses still loved them. They despised Brother Moses, but Brother Moses still prayed for them. They didn't like the messages and the ways that Moses was given, but Moses still loved them. You say, preacher, was it hard for Moses to love them? If Moses is like any other man, like I know any man could be, it's hard sometimes when people's hollering at you, bad-mouthing you, stabbing you in the back. But if you're a man of God, you'll still pray for your people. You'll still pray for the congregation. I know I'm preaching like this, but God knows why, and I'm not going to complain. I thank God that Moses still prayed for the people. And the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Moses in verse number 8, he said, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. I'm glad today, though, that I had been bitten by sin. I had been bitten by things in my life, the carnality of things. I'm glad I still live. If you'll have it today, sin is like that snake. Sin is like a serpent. Sin is like something that just gets a hold of you, and when you least expect it, it lashes out. It causes problems. But I'm glad, Brother James, that I'm not dead. I'm glad I'm still alive. I'm glad as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, somebody lifted up Jesus unto me. I'm glad that I believed in the only begotten of the Father. Can I say this today? He's not just a happenstance belief. He's not a belief like you're going to make it home tonight. He's a belief that changes your whole entire life. He says at the end of those verses that I read, he said men didn't
like the light. They love the darkness because their deeds were evil. But every man that loveth the light, he cometh to the light that he might be manifested in the presence of God. I'm glad tonight, though I was caught up in darkness, though I love darkness, and though I've been snake bit by sin, I'm glad that somebody presented Jesus Christ, the cure for all sin, the cure for our lost condition, the cure for darkness, the cure for everything that man needs, and Jesus is the cure. But we're living in a day and time, people don't realize just what it is. They can't figure out what's happened, but they have been bit by sin. They have been bitten by the things of sin. I've heard many messages about sin being like a snake or the serpent and the things that he was. And a lot of people has went out and researched and told these fables and told these stories. I found out, Brother James, it's almost like the eagle message. I went out and studied a lot of things that people preached about eagles, and they weren't actual factual stories. They were made up stories. And I'm going to tell you some things right now that's coming straight from the Bible and some factual things that actually happened. And I want to remind you, sin is like a snake. Sin is exactly like a snake. And some people may be scared to death of snakes. I think we all need to be scared to death of snakes. I've heard his brother Paul Bernard, he's down in Kentucky with his grandmother for her birthday. But if Brother Paul was here, he'd be amen and 100%. That man is terrified and hates snakes. And I'll say this, and I know some people say, preacher, you don't know the biological aspect of a snake and what it's meant for in nature. You can talk all that garbage all you want. When I see a little thing coming up and slipping his tongue out, I want no part of a snake. Fishing before, and so I'm swimming across the water, and they want to get in my boat. I'll whoop a snake with a fishing pole and slice him in half if I have to keep him out of my boat. You know what we ought to do, Brother James? Every time we're in our boat and we see a snake slithering across the water, we ought not to let it get in the boat. We ought not to say it's a nice snake. We ought not to say, oh, it's a cute snake. I've never seen a cute snake. I've never seen a pretty snake. I'm not trying to badmouth nobody who's got pet snakes, but I'll tell you this, if you've got a pet snake, something wrong somewhere. Amen, I got one. Genesis chapter number 3. The serpent beguiled Eve. Genesis chapter number 3, Eve is talking to that snake. He's in a tree. There's only one thing worse than a snake slithering on the water and slithering across the ground. That's one that can climb a tree. Somebody say amen. He's in a tree. The Bible says he was more subtle than any other creature upon the earth. That subtleness means he could deceive you with the craftiness of words. He was subtle. He could be saying a whole lot and you taking in a whole lot and you not realizing what he's saying. Can I say this? There's a lot of people that's got a snake talking to them. They got a snake talking sin to them, Sister Tina, and they think they know everything that's going on, and they don't realize everything it's doing. It's slowly but surely deceiving them a little bit at a time. The serpent gave a little bit of the truth that the Lord had spoke unto Adam, and then Adam had to give it unto Eve, and he gave a little bit of the truth, but he turned out to make it the great big lie, Brother Miller, for Eve. We all know the story. She's looking at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, of every tree in the garden, they could eat of anything they wanted to eat of, but the one thing they're not supposed to have is the one thing Eve was looking at. And can I say this? Don't no one look at Eve like you're more super spiritual than her. For some reason, it seems like the one thing that we're not supposed to have is the one thing we're always attracted to. I don't know how many times I've seen my youngins. I tell them, get away from this, get away from this, get away from that. I mean, I sat there last night. Rebecca's too young. She won't remember this, Sister Amy. But Timmy brung home donuts, and I love, anybody here love donuts? I don't know why it always gets back to food, but it always gets back to food. But she's sitting there, and she done reached into that box and went to get another donut, and I said, no, get away from them donuts. And she's sitting there, and she looks at me, and she give me a kind of look, and she walks out. She comes back in. I said, get away from the donuts. And I tell you what, it wasn't even 2 seconds or something. I turn around and look. She already had one out of the box, had the icing licked off the top of it, finger dug in the top of it. I mean, she was slick, she was subtle, and she was sneaky, and she slithered in and got that thing. Can I say something? For some reason, you mark her down in your life, you mark it down in your family's life. There's things that we ought not to touch, things that we ought not to have part of, things we ought not to let in our life, let in our house, let in our heart, but it's the one thing our flesh always runs to. And Eve is talking with a snake. the snake is beguiling her. He's deceiving her. He's subtle, so he's deceiving her. He's sly, and he's secretive. He's trying to make it to where he can talk to her, and Adam's not around. He's slick. He's a smooth talker. He knows how to use the words. He said, you know, the reason why God don't want you to eat of this tree is because the days you eat thereof, you shall be as gods. You'll know everything as God knows. He was slick in what he was saying. He was a smooth talker. Hey, man, does anybody know what the preacher's talking about? And he was a silent talker. I mean, he wasn't saying it loud enough where Adam can hear what was going on. But can I say something? Everybody wants to look and say, well, it's Eve's fault that we're in the mess that we're in. I'll say this. Adam was the one who was given the order and given the commandment to follow. And for some reason, Adam forbid and forsook and forgotten to keep Eve under the same commandment. They was not to touch that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we all know what happened the rest of the story. Friend, I want to say this. If you find yourself, you're talking to something, or you're dealing with something, and you're contemplating something, I want you to know something. There's no way your eyes can see what God sees. There's no way your mind can know what God knows and the fathomness of it of. All you need to know about God is that God is love and God hates sin. And what you need to do is run from anything that looks like sin, sounds like sin. If you don't know if it's sin or not, you ought to run away from it right there. Why? Because when you least expect it, it'll deceive you. It's sly, it's sneaky, it's secretive, and it's subtle, and it'll fool you and deceive you and cause you nothing but misery. Too many times people say, well, preacher, I think I can handle that. Well, let me tell you something. By the time I get done with this message, I think we're all going to realize there ain't nothing we can do with sin. Because if we could do something with sin, Brother James, we'd have no need of Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus being lifted up. We find that these snakes are sneaky. That snake was deceitful and subtle. I said something about people having snakes for a pet. I want to say something. A snake, by its nature, is slick. By its nature, it's subtle. Most of the time, a snake is silent. And you say, well, preacher, a rattlesnake makes a noise. But most of the time, you don't find out until you happen upon that snake. Somebody say amen. It'll creep out and rattle. But I thought this, and I thought, man, just I hear about people talking about snakes and talking about sin. And I'll be honest with you, I was talking with Brother Josh. I've been locked up with this message for over a week now, and I've wrestled and I've wrestled and I've wrestled, and I don't know why God's wanting to preach this message, but I do know this. This message has got to get preached. And I want to give you three examples and get back to two scriptures, and then we'll pack her up and head and say it's been a good day to be in the house of the Lord so far. There was a woman by the name of Debbie one time who had a pet boa constrictor for 8 years. This pet boa constrictor was her pet. This pet was the best thing she could handle. This thing was a friend. It was a part of the family. She had took care of this snake. This snake was no doubt almost like a friend to her. How a lot of people get attached to her pets or get attached to their pets, but I want to say something. A snake don't share the same emotions like a dog does. A snake won't come live up next to you and cuddle with you and kiss you on the lips. Has a lot of people like to let them dogs lick them on the lips. And I can say something. A snake, the only thing a snake cares about is being a snake and getting fed. That's all a snake cares about. A snake don't even care for its own baby snakes. It could care less if a baby snake lives or dies. I mean, I'll say this. Snake is one of the most comparable things to sin in the Bible. And some people say, well, preacher, you don't understand this. You may not be able to handle certain things, but I can handle them. Well, old Debbie thought she could handle her pet snake for 8 years. That thing grew to be 14 foot long, and she kept it in a cage. And one day, just one day out of the blue, she began to water that snake and put the water in the cage. That snake leaped out, Sister Jamie, grabbed a hold of her with its teeth, wrapped itself around her, and began to constrict her. Now, you all maybe not realize this, but a 14-foot snake is almost as roughly as long from Brother James to the edge of this pew right here. This thing has got to be at least this big around. And they're not fat. They're not gristle. They're nothing but muscle. They're killing machines and eating machines. It didn't see Debbie as its mother. It didn't see Debbie as its owner. It didn't see Debbie as the hand that provided food for it. It saw Debbie as a snack. It saw Debbie as a lunch. When Debbie said, I've been with this thing for 8 years, it's never caused me no problems. And the one least moment, Brother James, it reached up and latched on to her, and it got a hold of her, and it was squeezing the very life out of her. Thank God her daughter was home and heard her mumbles and heard her whimpers and heard her cries. And she come out and saw her. They wrestled with that snake and called the police. And the police finally, after hacking it and slashing it over and over and over again, they finally got that snake off of her. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with the message? Some people the sound of my voice, and I'm just going to preach it the way God's given it. There's some of you who's had these sins in your life for so long, and you think, well, they ain't bothering me, they ain't a hindering me, they ain't causing me no problem. But friend, at the time that you least expect it, that sin don't care about you. That sin don't call you friend. That sin sees you as a victim. At the time you least expect it, it'll latch upon you and squeeze a life out of you. And unless you've got a friend that's there, you'll die in that sin. Too many times people say, preacher, oh, not me. I've known people who says, preacher, I can handle it. It's their pet sin. You know, I've heard people say this. They love it when the preacher preaches on sin generally, but they can't stand it when the preacher preaches on sin specifically. And I will say this here in the last little bit. The Lord's been reaching and touching upon sin specifically. And I'll say this. You know, I heard that the Supreme Court had legalized gambling. And now I'm seeing all these so-called theologians come out of the woodwork saying it's okay to gamble. It's not okay to gamble. You really can't find no proof in the Bible. Well, let me give you some proof in Genesis chapter number 3. The Bible says, by the sweat of a man's face shall he eat bread. Somebody say amen right there. It's called an honest living. It's called getting, doing things the way God set her up. And I know some people say, preacher, I don't think you ought to preach against gambling. I'll preach against gambling because gambling's a sin. What do you think they was doing at the foot of the cross when Jesus was dying on there? They was a gambling, casting lots for his garment. And I'll say this, unjust gain is not right in the eyes of the Lord. When you profit yourself by the misfortunes of somebody else, that's sin and that's a bad character. You say, preacher, why are you preaching that way for? I'm just letting you know the Bible still calls it sin. I don't care if the Supreme Court legalizes homosexuality. I don't care if they legalize gambling. Lord of mercy, we done got lottery, done got gambling casinos in the state, and we're already betting on horses and everything else. And I'm telling you, friend, the worst is still yet to come. But we still stand straight. We still stand firm. And I've heard people say, preacher, I can handle it. Preacher, I can handle it. I was on the phone with a husband about 3 months ago whose wife done run off and left him because he put the house and put her car in hock, got it repoed because he thought he could handle the gambling. He could handle the sins that he was doing behind his wife's back. And then he calls me and says, preacher, will you pray for me and pray for my family and pray for my wife for her to come back home? I want you to know, but when they first got married, they come to my house, Sister Amy. He did, the husband did, and says, my wife's upset with me. And I said, why? He said, because she wants to go to church and I don't take her to church. I looked at him and I hope y'all don't make me think I'm being mean. I said, you're about as stupid as the day is long. Why would you not take your wife to church? If your wife wants to go to church, get yourself up, brush your teeth, comb your hair, and take your wife to church. He said, preacher, I know what you're saying, but sometimes it's hard. I know right now he's looking back and said, I wish I took my wife to church. I wish I never put that snake in my home. I wish I never let that sin creep in my life. I wish I never thought I could handle it. And now he's lost it all because he let it sneak in. He took it in. Secondly, sin is like a snake. Sometimes you could just be walking down your day of life, walking in your journey. This man in Kenya, this farmer, was walking in the cattle field. And he stepped on something, and when he turned and looked and see what it was a 13-foot python that done latched upon his leg with its teeth and wrapped around his torso. Now, here's something that I did not realize that a snake could do. I've heard of them grabbing them. I've heard of them squeezing them. I've heard of them biting them and poisoning them. I've heard of them swallowing whole. This thing began to drag it up a tree, Sister Tina. This python began to drag this feller up a tree, Greg, and he was going to have him for lunch. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? They found out that the snake got so big because it was hunting in a cattle field. And when a calf would drop, it would go and get a calf and eat that calf because it was strong enough. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I don't see too many fat people in Kenya. I ain't saying there's not, but a lot of them is pretty skinny. This guy couldn't wait about maybe a buck 50, a buck 60. And a 13-foot, 14-foot python ain't got no problem with 160 pounds. It's dragging him up a tree. You say, preacher, what are you going to say now? That sin will take me farther than I'm willing to go? You better believe it. You'll be walking through life and think it ain't no big deal. You'll step in something, say it ain't no problem, I'll just get rid of it. Friend, I'm telling you, unless you've got the Savior in your life, it'll latch upon you, it'll wrap around you, it'll drag you into depths you've never been in before. I mean, what kind of death would that be to know you're being dragged up a tree? dragged up a tree and going to be supper for a snake. You know what that God did? He took his shirt off and wrapped it around the snake's mouth to try to suffocate the snake. And while he's holding the snake, Connie, this is what he did. He must have been a hillbilly Kenyan. I don't know if there's hillbillies in Kenya, but I think I'd do the same thing he did. Jeff, he had a hold of that snake's face with his shirt over it so he wouldn't get bit, and he grabbed a whole little piece of that snake and bit into it. I mean, he started gnawing on that snake. You say, preacher, what's wrong with him? He's fighting for survival. He's fighting to live. Can I say something? Some people say, preacher, it ain't that big a deal. I can handle these things. It's just a mistake that I made. But friend, it's dragging you into a hole, or it's dragging you up a tree. And the last thing that you'll expect to find is that the last thing will happen to you, you'll get swallowed up by that sin and you'll die in it. That man got on a cell phone. Hey, man, in Kenya, he had a cell phone. He called his buddies and his friends. But do you know what he had to do for an hour? He had to bite that snake and keep that shirt over that snake's head till help arrived. He bit that snake so hard and took so big a hunks out of that snake, it cut his lips. He was biting so hard. That's how tough that thing was. Can I say something? You may think you're tougher than sin, but you ain't tougher than sin. You may think you can get away from it, but friend, it'll latch on to you. There's only one remedy for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. Lastly, y'all ready for this one? Just because you've been around it for so long and you've survived it doesn't mean it still ain't going to kill you. Huh? Now, some of you in the back of your head, you're going, preacher, you're going to hit that Mark chapter 16, 15 through 18? Absolutely, I'm going to hit it right here. This man's a preacher, and he's in West Virginia in 1998. He's the pastor of a church. And they're having themselves a snake handling service. Y'all seen them snake handlers, huh? Now, I know this, and some people might say, well, preacher, that taking up the serpents, that's just a spiritual meaning. It's just a spiritual meaning. I want to challenge y'all to come to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16, I want to show you something about these scriptures and show you something about this Bible. That a lot of times you don't realize it, but people will take you into a place and put you in a position, and you'll be deceived just like the serpent. In Luke chapter number 16, I'm trying to get there as fast as I can. I went the wrong direction. Luke chapter 16, verse number 15, it says this. And he said unto them, he's talking to the apostles. He's talking to the 11. And this is what he says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Can I say something? That's our commission still yet today. We don't just hang out in the church house and listen to me preach or these other good preachers preach. We're all supposed to preach. And I'm going to get to that. I mean, if you could have been with me yesterday for 4 or 5 hours, James, I mean, I was about to come unglued. I was taking fits at work. Lord of mercy, the foxes and the animals and everything around here, I thought I was crazy as could be, but took me a fit. He says, go out and preach to every creature the gospel. In verse number 16, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse number 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. That's not just speaking spiritually. Some people say, well, they shall cast out devils and they shall speak with a new tongue. I'm glad I speak with a new tongue. Somebody say amen right there. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You say, preacher, you believe them scriptures? I absolutely believe them scriptures. Here's where some of you are going to choke up and going to get snake bit. He was talking to them apostles. The signs that shall follow them. And some people might say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with the analogy you gave? This man is purposely taking up snakes and making them into a service. Almost like what they did back in Hezekiah when they had that brazen serpent that you mentioned Wednesday night. Can I say something? Just because it worked, and just because there's things that took place, and just because there's things that God talked to other people, and it is for our example, it is for us to follow somebody, but we don't do it word for word. Some people say, well, you mean you don't do it word for word? Well, can I say something? If we stoned people for committing adultery, half of the population of the world, Sister Amy, would be dead. Somebody says, well, preacher, that's a bad God. It wasn't a bad God. It was a deterrent to keep people away from sin because what sin would do to their life. Y'all hearing the preacher? I'm still preaching the same thing in the books of that Bible. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That preacher has having a service and wanted everybody to shake and wrangle and dance with that snake, thinking that it would prove their holiness unto the Lord. Can I say something? It was not to prove their holiness under the world. It was to show them that as they went out preaching, they went out preaching the gospel for folks to get saved, that when people saw them and things come their way that would normally kill the normal man, they was protected by the ever-living providence and power of God. Y'all hearing the preacher? Y'all still with me? Say amen. So this is what happened. This man, and then you see a preacher, y'all sitting there, says, I'm just telling you how they do it. I'm just telling you how they do their thing. He was dancing with a snake for a while. The report said he held that snake and walked around the sanctuary with that snake. As he laid it on the altar, it bit him on the finger. When it bit him on the finger, he stood up in the pulpit and preached like he normally did, because he had been bitten 22 times before, and it never killed him. But I've watched many of those snake handlers that's been bit before, and it never killed them. But their hands are disfigured. Their hands are marred and messed up. And you know what happened? Mid-sermon, mid-preaching, he dropped dead in the pulpit. You know what that congregation did? They got around him and they began to pray. Now I want to say this. Some people might say, well, preacher, what's it got to do with this message today? And you better tread lightly about that man of God. I'm not bad-mouthing that man of God, Brother James. He's a man of God, and he has to deal with God his own way back when he passed away. But I'll say this. We ought to watch how we deal with things and watch how we handle things. And just because they have not burned us, just because they have not killed us, and just because they have not brought us down, you mark her down one of these times, they sure will. When you handle things you ought not to handle, when you're doing things you ought not to do, not only did it bother him and kill him, but I wonder what that congregation felt in their heart when they saw the man of God who had gotten up 22 other times before, and they said, if he could do it, I can do it. But when he couldn't get up, I wonder what happened to all those people's faith. Huh? You said, preacher, well, we don't handle snakes around here. I beg to differ, friend. The Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 27 got bit by one. He was doing a duty and doing a labor, picking up sticks and putting them on the fire. As he was picking up sticks and putting them on the fire, a viper leaped out and latched onto his arm. And all those people of the land, the barbarous people, looked at him and said, this guy's dead. This guy's a goner. Note, Paul wasn't dancing with it. Paul didn't go looking for it. But it came across Paul. Y'all hearing the preacher? I'm going to get to a spiritual application on this. I'm going to give it to an application that we all may understand and realize. Y'all with me? I just need you to stay with me on this last point. When they saw him, you know what he did with that snake? He shook it off in the fire. You know what's wrong with a lot of the church people today? They get bit by a snake. They don't know how to shake it off. They take off running and screaming, looking for help some other way. Y'all hearing the preacher? And here's the other reason why. If they could shake it off, they ain't got no place to shake it, because they ain't got no fire built. That's exactly right. You see, preacher, what are you trying to say? We need to be prepared, because if you're saved, if you're born again, if you are the one who's been baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, if you have been to the river and got baptized, as we have baptized some this past Sunday, I want to say this. You have been given everything, equipped with everything that you need to make this journey. And we just gave, and everybody, I hope, everybody came in today with a King James Bible in their hand. If you need a King James Bible, see me. We'll get you a King James Bible. Then you'll have the very tool that you need. And I'm telling you, when you go out, and I mean preach the gospel, you're supposed to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, that when something comes up and something tries to get you, and that snake, that sin, that viper tries to latch onto you, you can shake it off in the fire and it won't harm you. Too many times people think that they can handle it and they can't handle it. Well, I've come back from it before. Well, I've lasted 8 years. It's never done me no wrong before. Preacher, I was just walking. Sin don't care about you. It does not care about you. Too many times in sin, too many times when it comes to the serpent, too many times when it comes to being bitten, a lot of people don't realize it, that you need to have somebody there to help you. Thank God, those three examples, there was people there to help. But on one instance, find it kind of odd that in the church house, people didn't know what to do. Y'all hearing the preacher? I believe 100% in the protection of God, Brother James. I believe I can. You said, preacher, you believe you can take up a serpent? I absolutely believe I could do that. But can I say this? I believe in the protection and the providential love of God over my life. But I also know this, I don't go tempting the Lord thy God.
And can I say this? There's too many saved people who's tempting the Lord with their pet sins. And their sins are getting involved in. Saying, preacher, it ain't going to bother me. You can harp all you want. It ain't going to get the best of me. I'm not harping. I'm just giving you the message he's given. And he knows more than I know. He sees more than I see. And I'm just warning you because he's telling me to warn you that if you don't get rid of that snake, if you don't get rid of that sin, it's going to bite you. The first two were constrictors. They were slow. They were long. The woman was 8 years sin that she kept in her life, if you'll have it, being a snake. The other man was being drugged and up in a tree and had to fight it for an hour as it was trying to choke its life, his life out. But the second one was a timber rattler, just like that. They said a timber rattler can lash out and bite at around 200 miles an hour. That's a half a second. Wesley Morrison, y'all remember the Morrison sisters and their daddy that came and sang for us? Brother Wesley posted a picture on Facebook. His buddy in Georgia wandered into the barn, and he happened upon a big timber rattler. That thing was as long as him. Did you see it, James? And that thing's body was almost the size of my thigh. If it couldn't have ate nobody as big as me, I believe it would have tried. Do you know what that man did with that snake? He killed it. He killed it. I hear people all the time saying, you ought not to kill these creations and kill these creatures. But can I say something? I don't have a problem with people killing snakes, but my main focus in this message and the main focus in my heart, I began to cry and weep at the river last Sunday. And I was actually kind of sorrowful. It was a wonderful time, a jubilous time. Love seeing everybody getting dunked. But Sister Donna, I'm sitting there thinking, going, man, there's a whole lot more people that need to be getting baptized and believing in the Lord. So many people don't realize what sin's doing to their life. They don't realize it. They don't see. I said, preacher, I'm all right. Don't you worry about me. Well, there's a problem. God sees what you're doing. He lets me in on it a little bit. And it scares me plumb to death. This last man was in a church house. This last man was a man of God. And he thought, for sure, I've gotten up 22 other times before. He laid this snake on the altar saying, yeah, it bit me. But I got God in my back pocket. I got God in my life. It ain't going to hurt me. It ain't going to touch. He drops dead. He drops dead. You three young fine men, Wade, Logan, and Noah, sitting on that front pew. You're in high school. And everybody says a little bit of, what's the one they keep offering you? Is it the vape? What's that little thing called? What's that little thing that looks like a little computer chip called? A jewel? Called a jewel. They got names for them. I don't even understand. Sit there. They're getting suspended from school because they're smoking that stuff in the classroom. Some of you young folks, I see you nodding. Y'all seen it, haven't you? See, everybody says, well, preacher, what's the big deal? Oh, that snake is just a small little snake. It ain't going to do nothing. You know what that sin always does? It grows bigger, and so does that snake. And when you least expect it, it takes everything of your life. It'll either squeeze you plumb to death, or when you least expect it, it'll strike so hard. And the venom it releases, you better hope and pray that you got Christ in your life. So many people saying, preacher, 2018, we don't need to hear about sin. No, that's what's wrong. Amen. The world is filled with sin, which brings me to my last point, and I'll get back to our scripture. I spent 4 or 5 hours yesterday with Brother Amos. You say, who's Brother Amos? He's the minor prophet in the Old Testament. He's the minor prophet in the Old Testament. But had me a spell. I won't go through all the particulars because I know I don't want to weary. I know some of you, and I'm not trying to say I'm going by time. I'm going by what the Lord's winding me down. And that's never get to a serious part. Amos was the man who prophesied unto the children of Israel. Now, what got the children of Israel in their problems was in Amos chapter number 2, verse 4, it says, the Lord said unto the for the three transgressions of Judah, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have despised the law of the Lord, have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err after the which their fathers have walked. He said, but I will send fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the places thereof, the palaces thereof. There's Judah, God's people. In verse number 6, it says, for thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for 4, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. Bible says that Israel was like her sister Sodom because they neglected the poor and they got real, real lazy in what they was doing. They thought they had arrived, Brother Miller. They said, I'm God's child. I can do whatever I want to. I ain't got to do. No, that's for the poor people to do. Verse number 11 says, I raise up you sons, prophets, and your young men, and your Nazarites. He said, that's what he did. I raised up of your sons for prophets and for your young men Nazarites. He was raising up preachers and holy men vowed and dedicated to the Lord. A Nazarite was somebody who didn't touch unclean things, did not drink unclean things or eat unclean things. He was dedicated, didn't cut his hair. He was devoted to the Lord 100%. That was a Nazarite. Samson was a Nazarite. Okay? But this is what they've done with the men of God and the Nazarite. In verse 12, it says, but you gave the Nazarite wine to drink. And the Nazarite was not supposed to drink wine. They told the Nazarite, ain't going to hurt nothing. Just take a little nip. Take a little nip. Take a little nip. I think it's funny that our generation, we hear a lot of people say, well, Jesus turned the water to wine. What they're trying to say, Brother Eddie, is that Jesus turned the water into Mogan David, Mad Dog, and Lawrence Screwdriver, and things like that. And it's okay to take a nip from now and then. That's a lie. Amen. It's a snake. Amen. It's bitten a lot of people. In Israel, it's common the men of God and common the Nazarites to drink wine and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. That means, shut up, preacher. Shut up, preacher. He says, this is what the Lord said, behold, I am pressed under you as a cart pressed that is full of sheaves. He's saying, I am so under pressure from all your wrongdoings. You said, preacher, what's that got to do with the message? He sends judgment. He's sending judgment unto the children of Israel. Can I say in chapter number 6, this is what I thought of. This was, y'all, I want you to listen to this. He says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. And some of us super spiritual people are going to say, well, preacher, that's Zion, that's Israel back in the Old Testament. Well, I looked right there, Brother Eddie, and I saw Mount Zion Baptist Church, South Lebanon, Ohio. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Some people, and I don't know why I'm preaching this way, y'all pray for me now. It's 12:30. Y'all pray for me. If you pray for me, I'll get done as fast as I can. Lord, will speed me up. Some of you people are at odds with this man of God because it seems like every time you come around, I'm poking, I'm prodding, I'm dumping salt and things and burning and causing problems in your life. It's not me. It's not me. I don't know what you're doing, but he does. And he says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named the chief of nations to whom the house of Israel came. They was trusting in things that was established by man, and they took their ease when it come to the things of God. You said, preacher, you still ain't got to that point. Well, hold on, let me get to this other point. Here's Amos, and he's prophesying, and it says also Amaziah in chapter number 5, chapter number 7, he says, and also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go thee, flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. So they're telling the man of God, just go somewhere else and preach that. Don't preach that here, preach that somewhere else. Y'all ready for this? This is what Amos said. He said, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. If you'll have it, Sister Rita, he's a lay member. The preachers got wrong. The deacons got wrong. The Sunday school teachers got wrong. Everybody got wrong. And our sheep herder, he said, hey, you follow? He says, yes, Lord. He says, preach. Preach. Don't no one get that. Well, preacher doesn't give me a license to preach. I'm a preacher now. I'm going to get me a title and get me a badge and get me a preaching, get me a Lincoln Continental and go everywhere in 3-piece suits. That's not what I'm saying. As Jesus told them apostles, he says, go out and preach the gospel. Here's Amos preaching the gospel. You said, preacher, you still ain't got to the point yet. Oh, I'm getting to the point right now. He said, there'll be a famine that'll come because I'm going to send it. He said, not for bread nor for water. He said, but for hearing the words of the Lord. He said, your young men, your young women will search and try to find them words. He said, but they won't get them. He says, why? He says, because I'm sending judgment unto you. And they say, well, yes, yes, the day of the Lord. But when the Lord comes back, everything's going to be good. When the Lord comes back, everything's going to be made all right. And this is my second to last ending point, Brother Miller. They say, well, yeah, the Lord's coming back. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah, everything's going to get good. What's the one verse I always say about end times? 1 John chapter number 2, that we should have confidence and not be ashamed at his
coming. And this is what Amos said unto the children of Israel. He said, what is the day of the Lord for you? He says, it's not light, it's darkness. He says, because you think it's going to be something good. You think, hey, I escaped the lion, but you ran into the bear. Or I got away from the preacher. I got away from the mountain. I got away from all that hard preaching. I got away from it. But when, friend, you may get away from me, but I'm not the end result. He says, it's like you ran into your house and now you're safe, but you leaned your hand against the wall and the viper came out and bit you. Sin will always be in the place you never thought it would be. I heard a story of this woman invited a man, and they got together, they dated, they got married, and she already had a kid, and they invited, and he come and moved in their house, but he had a pet snake. And one morning the snake got out of its cage and he looked and couldn't find that snake. The one place they never looked at was looked in the crib. And to save the gory details and try to pull your emotions down and try to make this be some kind of emotional thing and draw something out, I'm not trying to do. It was in the crib. And it was too late. Everybody loves church. Everybody loves being saved. And I say hallelujah ought to. But all you got to do is look up unto the one who can save you from all those sins. You say, preacher, but I have no problem with these sins and that sins. You've got sin in your life. You need to get it out, whether you're having a problem with it or not. The reason being because sin will always take you farther, like up a tree. The sin will always cost you more, like that woman's baby. Stupid me, I listened to the 911 call. I shouldn't have listened to it. But one thing that's bothering me more and more and more is I'm seeing people by the droves being drugged, being duped, and being snuck in on by sin, and they think they've got the cure. They think they can handle it. I wonder how many people died because they refused to look up at that brazen serpent that Moses was holding up. All they had to do was look on the serpent and live. Ain't that right? That's all they had to do is look and live. Some people say, well, preacher, what's that got to do? It's Jesus is lifted up. If you believe in Jesus, if you'll just say, hey, Jesus, I'm going to go with you. Jesus said, whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Preacher, it sounds pretty simple. That's how simple it is. Will he forgive me of all my sins? He'll forgive you all your sins, and he'll do the one surefire thing you need in your life. He's a snake killer. I'll say this, and I'll come to a hush. Actually, Christian, just come get your guitar, Christian. Play Amazing Grace on your guitar. We was little kids. We was down in Kentucky. We was coming outside. We was getting around the chicken coop. We like playing, like doing all kinds of things. We're sitting there goofing off. Stumbled upon this big old black snake with yellow specks on it. Come to find out it's called a king, Eastern king snake. I didn't care. It scared me plumb to death. You should have heard me and my sister squalling, Granny! Granny, snake! Snake! And I told you last week, my granny could hear you say a word she thought was a bad word when you whispered it. So she definitely heard us squalling, Granny, snake, Granny, snake. She didn't come out and investigate. She didn't come out and look. The back door kicked open, and how it appeared, it was like Moses. Boom, there's a hoe right there. She grabs that hoe, stomps up the path, takes one swing, snake's dead, head's gone. She turned around and she goes, get away from that snake, and ran right back in the house. You know what we did? We got away from the snake. We had no clue, but Granny knew. She knew you get around that snake, it'd bite you. You play that snake, it'll hurt you. So what'd she do? She ain't going to tell you and learn you about the snake. Tracy, she just went out and cut the head off of it and said, that's it. You ain't playing with it. It ain't a pet. You ain't taking it home. You ain't putting it in an aquarium. You ain't feeding it mice. You ain't feeding it rabbits. You ain't feeding it chicken. It's not a pet. It'll look at you as a meal, and sin always does. What you need to do is like Max Little did and just grab you a hoe, walk out there and just cut the head off that snake and say it's over, it's done, and get away from it. Some of you parents in here, and you're worried to death about your kids. What you need to do is come to this altar and say, Lord, make me one of them snake killers. I tell you, the best thing you got to kill a snake with is right here.
Yes, sir. The sword.
This right here. Amen. I want to get to Matthew chapter number 4 to tell you how you can cut the head off of a snake, but I ain't got time. Lord said, I'm done. I said 5 minutes. I got one more minute.
That Bible will cut the head off a snake. It'll take sin out your life. It'll definitely do it. You say, preacher, but I have a hard time with that word. You don't have a hard time with that word. You have a hard time giving up on the things of the world and sin. Listen to this. Listen to your pastor. If there's anything you listen to me to today, you listen to this. If you got some snakes in your house and in your life, you need to kill those snakes. You say, preacher, I'm having a hard time. I don't know if I can do it. Grab you a dear saint of God and say, will you come help me kill this snake? You're a young person. And you say, well, preacher, if I go up front and pray about, I got sin in my life, my mom and dad might ground me when service is over. I tell you what, if any parent would ground their kid for asking for forgiveness from God, they need to get to an altar themselves. But can I say this? If you get grounded, it's still better than having that sin kill you. Is that right? Is that right? Wife, husband, grandpa, grandpa, mom, dad, son, daughter, niece, nephew. You need to get them snakes out your life. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth on him shall have eternal life. That means he'll get rid of the snakes. You say, preacher, do you still have to get snakes getting rid of? Absolutely. They'll sneak in. They'll slither in. They'll get in any time they can. You've got to keep killing them. Christian, you start praying on Amazing Grace real soft and slow, every head bowed and every eye closed. I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand. I ain't going to ask you to say, you already know. You already know. You already know what you're dealing with. You already know there's sins in your life, things that you've wrestled with, things that you're trying to deal with, thinking that it's all right. I can get rid of this. I can handle it. And you ain't been able to handle it yet. Well, preacher, tomorrow I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. It never works. It never works. But I will tell you this. I know of someone who can take care of them snakes. His name's Jesus Christ. The brazen serpent in the wilderness took care of the fiery serpent that bit them. But Jesus is the one who can take care of the serpent, the snake of sin. I was bitten, but thank God I live. You've been bitten, but you're still here. Young or old, married or single, parent or not. Sin's got to be dealt with. Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. Sin. But I'm glad there's a cure for it. As we sing Amazing Grace, I wonder if you'd be willing to say, preacher. I wouldn't be willing to say, Lord, not preacher, but Lord, I need help with my snakes. With my snakes. It could be looking at pornographic stuff on the computer. It could be gambling. It could be drinking. It could be cussing. It could be a sorry attitude. It could be spiteful, revengeful, judgmental, critical, bitterness. I'm getting specific now. Fornication, adultery, bad-mouthing people behind their back. All kinds of snakes that creep in. You said, preacher, has any of them things ever crept in your life? Oh, yeah, they try to creep in all the time. I got to cut the head off that snake and get rid of it. That's what you need to do. Stand to your feet. If you'd come. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Look at that. Got some folks on the altar up here. Do you need? Is there things in your life you need to address? Maybe it's neglect. Maybe you're neglecting that spouse or you're neglecting that child. Maybe there's things in your life you need to get a hold of, things you need to get. I wonder today if you need to get a hold of those things. 'Twas grace that taught my heart, Rebecca, to fear and get her. My fears really, how precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed. We'll play real softly. Amos was given 7 visions. He had visions of locusts and visions of fire, visions of a plumb line, visions of a destroyed sanctuary.
in a vision of a basket of summer fruit. Everything in the likeness of what was going on in Israel. They had a crooked king, crooked church, crooked preachers. Everything was crooked. But in the midst of all those problems, I'm not going to leave you in a place where Amos said it's all over. He said three times, seek the Lord and live. And I do believe it's chapter number 5. He says in verse number 4, seek the Lord and live. Verse number 6, he says, seek the Lord and live. And in verse number 11, he said, seek the Lord, seek out His ways, and seek His commandments, and live. And live. You say, preacher, what happens if I get bit? You better have that friend that sticks closer than a brother, because he's the one that can cure the sin. But it better, before that happens, once you ask that friend to help you get rid of that snake, get rid of that sin, then you can too say and stand up and say, I've been bit, but thank God I'm alive. We don't try to act or be retroactive once we've been bit. Brother Don, we try to be proactive before we get bit.